You know, we just watched a family around their table navigating life, because that's what we do around our tables. We love one another, we share memories, and ultimately we connect with God around our tables, which is what Christmas is all about, connecting with God and connecting with His story. And no matter where you're at in your life, maybe you're a person of faith like the mom and dad, right? And you have this connection with God, and you're following Him. Or maybe you're like the son, and religion for you and is like God is fine for other people, but doesn't really work for you. We all have to navigate and decide what the story of Jesus means for us, which is why services today, like today, are just really important. Like, the Christmas story has impacted our entire planet. It's rooted in history. You're talking names and dates and places that are backed up by archaeology. And yet, at the same time, it hits something really deep in our souls. Whether you realize it or not, the Christmas story, story of Jesus, has touched you. And right in the center of the story, of the Christmas story, is a table where heaven crashed into earth. So I want to pray for us, and then we're going to dive right in. Let's pray. Father, thank you for mangers and candles and impossible hope. Thank you that you didn't wait for the world to get its act together before you showed up. Meet us right where we're at today, tired, skeptical, hopeful, hurting, whatever. And Lord, just speak. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read to you about the birth of Jesus, but first let me set it up. Mary, she's a teenage girl. She's pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, and she's told by an angel that she's going to have a baby, not conceived by man, but by God. Joseph gets his own angel visit. Hey, your fiance is going to be pregnant. It's not another guy. It's the Son of God. Mary's going to give birth to the Messiah that you've all been waiting for. So Joseph stays with Mary. God will be the father, Joseph will raise him, and about 9 months later, we pick up the story, Luke chapter 2, verse 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. Now, you know, we hear these names and places, and we don't really think much. Well, you need to understand, the journey they made was 110 miles, roughly 8 days, with Mary 9 months pregnant. Now, ladies, if you have given birth, you know how she felt, right? Like, you know, 9 months pregnant, we have 4 kids. I watched my wife do the pregnancy thing and give birth. Let me just say for all the guys in the room, thank God for women. I don't think we could do that. I don't think we would do that. Yes, go ahead. I think if guys gave birth, there would have been one generation of humanity and it would have been over. Been like, not doing it. But that 9th month, like, you women, like, am I right? You just want that baby out of there, right? You're like, get out of me. Well, Mary's making this journey on either a camel or a donkey, maybe even walking. They get to Bethlehem, and while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So all the inns are full, and the best offer they get is basically, well, we have a cave out back for the animals. You can go there. And I'm just like, how full must your inn be to turn away a 9-month pregnant woman, right? It's like, what kind of guy does that? What kind of person does that? But that's where Jesus is born, in a cave out back and where animals stay. Verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those to whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about them to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So what is the sign that would identify Jesus? It wasn't a crown. It wasn't a throne. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough. It's a table for animals. A table fit for a goat was the first Christmas table. The Messiah, Savior of the world, God in the flesh, laid on a table where creatures come to eat. Think about that for a second. God's grand entrance into human history didn't happen on a throne or a temple. Like, if it were me, I would have made sure everybody knew I was there. I'd have been like lightning, thunder, big announcements, trumpets around the world. Like, here's Jesus. Like, that's what I would have done, right? I'd have made sure everybody knew. Instead, Jesus' first resting place, it's just this table for animals in a place that smelled like barn and disappointment. The eternal Son, through whom every galaxy was flung into being, allowed himself to be handled by a teenage girl with trembling hands and placed on a stone feeding table. Why? Because God wanted the very first piece of furniture that touched the body of Jesus to say something to us, that my hope will always be within reach, even for the humble, for the hurting, and for the hungry. The manger was God's way of saying, there is no table that I will not come to. God doesn't just show up to the Instagram perfect tables or the we've got it all together tables. Like, he shows up at the table with the wobbly leg, with the overdue bills in the middle, with the kid who just got suspended from school, with the marriage hanging on by a thread, the table with the diagnosis that no one really knows how to talk about. He shows up at your table and at my table. And Jesus was just saying, look, I will start in a feeding trough so nobody ever wonders if their mess disqualifies them. You don't have to clean yourself up for Jesus to show up. And just so there's no confusion about who this baby is, Colossians 1 tells us Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? You look to Jesus. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. That is who showed up as a baby. And this was his mindset, Philippians 2, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the gospel. Your sin and mine, choosing our own way over God's way. That's what sin is. It's knowing the right thing to do and not doing it, choosing not to do it. That sin demands a price. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death, and we all deserve it because we've all sinned. And that sounds really harsh until you realize what Jesus did. He came to earth to pay the price for us when he died on the cross. He was raised 3 days later, defeating death, and says to us, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Jesus alone offers forgiveness of sins and makes us right with God. He traded the throne room, sitting at the right hand of the Father, for a feeding room, because love just refuses to stay at a distance. You guys know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas is not about Christmas trees and tinsel and gifts. Christmas is about a God who loves us so much that he would rather leave heaven and come here than have heaven without us. Like, my good deeds, if there are any, have not added one iota to my salvation. My bad deeds, of which there are many, have not taken away from my salvation either. I've never been more or less saved than the moment I was first saved, and that is because my salvation has nothing to do with me and everything to do with the finished work of Christ on the cross. And when Jesus comes to your table, he doesn't bring a clipboard of your failures. He brings light into your darkness. He brings hope. He brings forgiveness. And he brings himself, because with Jesus, things that weren't possible in your life suddenly become possible. It's like I came from a table of dysfunction growing up without a father and then an abusive stepdad. And with the help of Jesus, I'll just tell you, Melissa and I, we sit at a table in our home that is full of love and hope and peace as a family. With his help, we've been able to create that in our home. The impossible becomes possible with Jesus. This is the miracle of Christmas. Jesus is the unexpected gift for all of us. What started as a feeding trough became a table for hope, for eternal hope, eternal salvation. And when you invite Jesus into your life, and that really is what Christmas is about. It's about you understanding that Jesus came here because he loves you, and you have the opportunity to invite him into your life. And when you do that, loneliness turns into belonging, shame turns into sonship, fear turns into faith. And when Jesus is present, families win. Can I just tell you that? You want to win as a family, you invite Jesus into the center of your home. And you will understand what it means to win with Jesus. There's this beautiful passage of scripture found in Revelation 3 where Jesus speaks to us relationally. Revelation 3:20, he says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll share a meal together as friends." And what I love about this passage, it is relational language. First of all, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know he's pursuing you this moment. He's the one knocking. If you open the door of your heart to Jesus, he comes in and he sits with you eye to eye, knee to knee, and an eternity-changing friendship begins. Following Jesus isn't about rule keeping. That's religion. Jesus hated religion. Following Jesus is about a relationship with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I'll tell you, some of you walked in here carrying the heaviest invisible weight that no one really knows you're carrying, that feeling that maybe you're too stained for God. Like maybe your decisions have blown up your life and you just assume God is disappointed with you, everybody else is, or worse, God is done with you. The manger just shouts otherwise. Even at your lowest, Jesus still pursues you. Look at who was the first people to get the invite to come see the baby. Shepherds. Shepherds, like those were the guys nobody invited anywhere. They were smelly. They worked 24/7. They couldn't keep all the religious laws. They were some of the lowest of the low. And right from the jump, God is just saying, my table is for everyone. Everyone has a place at the table of God. And his table is what we find that we're starving for. Jesus says in John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Everything you're starving for, acceptance, forgiveness, purpose, joy, redemption, unconditional love, direction, significance, Jesus is the source. He's the source. He's saying, I am the table you're looking for. And Jesus tells us how to get to heaven, how to get to God. John 14:6, Jesus answered. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we've lost our way as parents, and I'll tell you, I have lost my way as a parent. We've lost our way in our marriage. When we've lost our way in our career. When we've lost our way just in general, what do we want to do? We want to fix it, right? We want a plan. We want a list. We want a self-help book. So what do? We Google it, and then we get like 10,000 resources, right? This is how you fix everything. You can go fix it. Well, here's what's interesting. God offers something better. He offers us himself. He became one of us to show us the way back. That's what Jesus is saying to some of you this afternoon. Jesus is saying, I am the way back. Back to peace with God and peace with yourself. For others of you, Jesus is saying to you, I am the way through. the way through the mess that you have made. Maybe you're at the point where you're transparent enough, you're honest enough, you're secure enough, you're mature enough to go, okay, I'm not just part of the problem, I'm a big part of the problem. Maybe you're able to say that about yourself. You're kind of understanding that. You know what? It's a big mess, and I've kind of made it, and I don't know if there is a way through this. Well, you need to know part of the Christmas story, Jesus showing up at your table, is him saying, no, there is a way through, and I'm the way through. For others of you, maybe Jesus is saying this morning, I'm the way forward. Forward into the life that you were created for, to the life that you dreamed of, that you undermined yourself because you saw a way that seemed right to you and you bought it, only to find out that it wasn't what you were hoping it would be. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way back, he's the way through, and he's the way forward. And all of that starts with asking a different question, not what should I do in a Google search. The question today is just, who will you follow? Who will you follow? Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart and just saying, follow me. I'm the one who showed you the love of God. I'm the one who died in your place so you could be made right with the Father. I'm the only way to peace with yourself and with God. And so here's how I want to end this Christmas message. If you and I could sit down and maybe have a conversation, and I could ask you a question, and I could just ask you, where are you at with God? Where are you at with God? Do you know that your eternity is secure? Do you have peace with God? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have a seat at God's table? If there is any hesitation in your answer, I believe that you are here by the divine purposes of God, that his Spirit is reaching out to you and drawing you. His loving kindness is pulling you toward him. And when we talk about the birth of Jesus, Mary, a virgin giving birth, Jesus didn't inherit a sin nature from an earthly dad. He carried the divine nature of God so he could be fully God and fully man and be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. When he went to the cross, he went as the Lamb of God, shedding his blood so our sins could be forgiven. He died in our place on the third day. God raised him from the dead so anyone, including you, no matter what you've done, no matter how dark your life feels, no matter how much shame you carry, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I will just tell you, there are some of you that God brought you here, and you recognize that you are doing life without the presence of God in it, and Jesus has not come to your table because you haven't invited him in. And he is knocking, and you haven't opened the door, so you don't know where you stand with God. I'll just tell you, you need the forgiveness of God. You need the power of God. You need the hope of God right now. And I will just tell you, Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me in my life. I am far from perfect, but I am closer to the man that I dreamed of being than I ever could have gotten with Jesus than on my own. That's what he offers. He's who I choose to follow. And so what I want to give you the opportunity to do is for some of you to follow him too, right now, and step across the line of faith. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me, everybody in the room? Christmas is about a table. It's about belonging. It's about God setting a table in heaven and through Jesus pulling up a chair to his table for you. And if you want to know where you stand today beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you want to know for sure that you have a seat at God's table, it's only through faith in Jesus that you can know that. He loves you. The whole Christmas story is, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. He loves you. He has plans for you beyond your wildest dreams. Let him in. Open your heart. Drop the walls around your heart. Let him have access to you. Receive the greatest gift anyone has ever offered to you, and that is forgiveness, salvation, right standing with God, and an eternity with God in heaven. Who else can offer that but Jesus? How he came here is as important as what he did here. As a baby in a manger, humble, gentle, vulnerable. And he offers you the keys to the kingdom of God. You can't earn it. All you can do is accept it. through a simple prayer and accepting the gift of Jesus. And so I want to lead you in basically a simple salvation prayer. You can make my words yours, and you can say them from your heart to God. You don't have to say them out loud. Just say them from the quietness of your heart. You can say something like this: God, I am ready to take my seat at your table. Thank you for pursuing me. I believe you sent Jesus to earth to die on the cross and pay for my sin, and that 3 days later he was raised from the dead. I ask for your forgiveness and invite you to be my Lord and Savior. As much as I understand it, help me live my life for you and follow you with my whole heart. And Father, for all of us, as we finish out today and spend tomorrow with family and friends and connecting, would you just remind us of your love and your patience and your willingness to come here so that we might have a seat at your table, and help us to be thankful. In your holy name, amen.